Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy weekend to join us for the Voice of Truth. It is an honor to be with you today by way of radio, but let me say that if you live in or near the Clarksburg-Bridgeport area and you do not have a home church, come and be with us at Christian Apostolic Church. In the move of God and the atmosphere of His presence, your life will be forever changed for the better, and you simply cannot imagine how wonderful it is to enjoy the presence of God. If you'll give us the next 30 minutes, we're going to give you a wonderful, in fact, life-changing message by Wayne Huntley, one of the greatest preachers of our day. He pastors in Raleigh, North Carolina, a tremendous, tremendous man of God. Before we get to that, let me mention that Christmas is coming. I want to encourage you to check out my latest novel, The Last Buy. It is a tremendous, fantastical story, and you will thoroughly enjoy it. You will enjoy reading it to your children or giving it as a gift to that young adult, that avid reader in your life that loves to get a hold of great stories. It's available on the Kindle platform as an ebook or as a printed paperback book. It's available from Amazon.com, AuthorStock.com, or wherever great books are sold. By the way, all proceeds from my novels go to missions. And thank you in advance for helping us support missions efforts across North America. This message we're about to bring to you by Wayne Huntley is entitled The Tenth Beatitude. It was delivered at our recent annual general conference, which convened in St. Louis, and it was specifically addressed to a gathering of men for the men's ministry department of the United Pentecostal Church International. Buckle up and get ready for this wonderful message from God's Word.
Probably no one has buoyed the spirit of our United Pentecostal Church constituency more often in more places than Pastor Wayne Huntley from Raleigh, North Carolina. Receive him and may God bless you.
And everybody said, praise the Lord. God bless you. You may be seated. I will quickly say it's a distinct high honor and privilege afforded me today to assume a spiritual posture that every pastor in Pentecost would be thrilled to do. The opportunity to address the wonderful men of the Apostolic Church. So I give honor today and thanksgiving to Brother Williams and Brother Dean for this privilege. I give honor to our esteemed leadership that sits in this audience. And every man of God, you are Earth's greatest treasure. You are Earth's greatest commodity. You are really more important than you think. And I'm thrilled to be with you today and share these few moments. I want to lay a foundation for my quick remarks today by saying, I preach to you what I am bringing from the standpoint of a pastor of years of experience, as a student of the Word, and then also as somewhat of a fatherless son. My message today will be rooted from those experiences. In the famous Sermon on the Mount, Jesus listed, debatable, 8 or 9 enviable qualities of Christian excellence, which have been labeled the Beatitudes. I choose to believe there are 9 of them listed in that notorious sermon. But today, as I enjoy doing, I would like to preach to you for a few moments the 10th Beatitude for apostolic men. The 10th Beatitude for apostolic men. If you read your scriptures of the story and the narrative, you will find 8 or 9. I have found one to be the anchor attitude of all the others. Jesus was saying, you will be blessed if you will acquire and activate in your life these attitudes. You will be blessed if you are poor in spirit. You will be blessed if you mourn. You will be blessed if you are meek. You will be blessed if you hunger after righteousness. You will be blessed if you thirst after righteousness. You will be blessed if you are merciful. You will be blessed if you are pure in heart. And you will be blessed if you are a peacemaker. And you will be blessed when you are persecuted. I bring to you my message today of identity of the 10th Beatitude. It is found in Acts chapter 1, and I read 4 and 5. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. What Jesus was saying is this: the wind is going to blow. The fire is going to fall. Tongues of fire will set upon each of you. The church will be born. Heaven will celebrate a victory, and hell will suffer an unreboundable defeat. Your challenge, men, your conflict, men, your battlefield of area will be in the area of personal priority, preference, and preeminence, because all you have to do is be there. Jesus said, be there. If you will be there, you will be blessed. I preach to the men in this audience today, the 10th Beatitude for apostolic men is be there. Turn around to a brother and say, be there. The first message of Pentecost included the admonition to save yourselves from this untoward generation. I would like to say to the generation of apostolic men, you need to save yourselves from this ungeneration. Save yourselves from the ungeneration. We are living in the ungeneration. Unreliable, unfaithful, undependable, unavailable, and unpredictable. We need God to save us from the ungeneration. The Bible tells after the resurrection of Christ, the disciples were gathered in a room for fear. Jesus himself appeared. I pause to tell you, gentlemen, you need to learn it now. Not all moments are created equal. This was not a casual moment because Jesus appeared. But John 20 and 24 said, Thomas was not there. Thomas was not there. Now Jesus is a loving, forgiving, merciful God. And he gave Thomas another chance. He heard his cry and he appeared to him personally. But I want to bring to your attention that Thomas from that day forward was not so kindly treated by humanity and history. He was only not there one time. But from that day until this, he is called Doubting Thomas because he was not there. The command of the Lord and the challenge of apostolic men in today's culture of absentee men and absentee fathers is simply this: be there, be there, be there, men, for the Lord. Be there for your local church. Be there for your pastor. Be there for your wife. Be there for your children. Be there for prayer meeting. Be there for revival. Be there for midweek Bible study. Be there for work days. Be there for outreach. Jesus said, it's going to happen. I'll give the fire. I'll send the wind. The devil will be defeated. Your part is simply to be there. The greatest gift you can give is this. Presents are no substitute for presents. All the gifts you can give and all the money you can send will take no place for your very presence. I feel in the Holy Ghost to challenge our men. It's time to be there. Let me pause to inject right here in the event you've not learned this. Children spell love. T-I-M-E. Children spell love time. The significance of, quote, success is overplayed in our society. You can become success intoxicated to where you don't know what really is important and what really is significant. The word success is found only once in the Bible. Only one time can you find the word success, and it's in Joshua 1 and 8. I preach to you today that success is not required, but faithfulness is. We are in a generation where a lot of people are wanting a list of heaven or hell issues. And they ask the question, is that a heaven or hell issue? I rise to preach to you today that faithfulness is a heaven or hell issue. Faithfulness is a heaven or hell issue. It is required that in stewards that a man be found faithful. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. They that are with him in Revelation are called. They are chosen, and they are faithful. Our goal should not be success. Our goal should not be position. Our goal should not be prosperity. Our goal should be faithfulness. You will be blessed if you will just be there. Simon of Cyrene, the man privileged to share the weight of Christ's cross, the first one to feel the blood of the sacrifice, had it splattered on him. I'm here to preach to you. He had no special training. He had no prestigious pedigree. He had no distinguishing sense of superior spirituality, other than the fact that when they needed somebody and they looked, he was there. And they said, you carry his cross. Your day may not have come to be in close fellowship with him. But if you'll hang around this altar, if you'll hang around that prayer room, if you'll hang around the church, someday Jesus may need somebody. And if you're there, he's going to say, you preach this revival. You lay your hand on that person. The key is to just be there. Second Kings 2:9. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. I hope we're raising a generation that doesn't just want what the other generation had. I would assume the prophet thought, yeah, I know what you want. You want what I've got. He know you got it wrong. He said, make mine a double. I don't want what you have. I want twice what you have. I say we shouldn't want what we have seen. We should want what we have never seen. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Everybody say it's a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, if you will be there when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. That which seems challenging, difficult, and hard to do will be accomplished if you will just be there. If you will just be there. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The word remain simply is defined as to be there. And let me say this. It said those that are remain and are alive. Those are alive and remain. Jesus is not coming back for remains. He is not coming back for deteriorated, decomposed, coming apart. Church, it's only a bone of what it used to be. It's going to have to be alive in faith, alive in hope, alive in trust, and alive in worship. Clap your hands and bless the Lord. When my daughter Christy was simply 8 or 9 years old, and my life at that point was very similar to it is now. Traveling, preaching, privileged to do the work of God. I'll never forget one time the phone rang. She was a little bitty girl. And I answered the phone and I was saying, yes, sir, it'd be my honor. Sir, let me check my calendar. I'd be thrilled. I'll be right back. I laid the phone down. Christy's a little girl. And she said, Daddy, are you going somewhere else to preach? A little girl. And I said, yes, baby, I am. She said, well, don't they have preachers there? And this is where she really got deep on me. She said, I just want to ask you something. This guy's waiting on me to come back to the phone. She said, I want to ask you something. Did God call you to Raleigh? I said, well, yes, baby, he did. She said, well, when are you going to do what he called you to do? So it was Christmas, I believe, that same year. Her mother said, Christy, I want you to pick out for your dad the Christmas present you would like for him to have. Within range of finance, I'll let you buy for him whatever you'd like to give him. And this is what she gave me. I unwrapped that Christmas present. And I turned it over. It's a Norman Rockwell figurine. I turned it over, and on the back side was the words, we missed you, Daddy. I was reduced to a puddle of tears. We missed you, Daddy. I would like to address for you what we often call the chosen fast. It is found in Isaiah 58, starting with 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke? We love that. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him and that thou hide? Here's the part where we struggle at. This is a fast. That you hide not thyself from thine own flesh. My application is not the evil and wickedness of my sinful body, but do I hide myself from my own wife? Do I hide myself from my own children? He said, you need to declare a fast and don't hide yourself from your own flesh. The reason it is a fast is because you must say no to opportunities, no to involvements, no to personal pleasures, profits, and hobbies that will cause you never to have time for your family. You have to say, I'm going to fast that so I can take my boy fishing. I'm going to fast that trip so I can spend some time with my little girl. We need to declare a fast, men, that we're going to prioritize our children, our family, and be there for them. Due to my upraising, due to my background, I've never aspired to preach at General Conference. Never imagined preaching a camp meeting. Never thought that I would have undeserved opportunities more than I can number. All I've ever wanted to be was somebody my girl would not be ashamed of. All I've ever wanted to be was somebody that she would never be ashamed to say, that's my daddy. Brother Anthony Mang and I remember preaching by privilege of your kindness that because of the times, and my daughter was up in the balcony. She was going to Bible college. She came to that meeting that day and I hadn't seen her in a while. She was up in that audience. While I was preaching, the church was so kind to respond to my preaching. And they were so kind to get on their feet and clap their hands and help me preach. And they were so nice, but I wasn't looking down here. I looked up there. And I kept preaching. And I kept preaching. Until I saw that little girl stand up in that balcony. And she went, thank you for that. Sir, it really doesn't matter a whole lot of what your peers think about you and what the world thinks about you. Your girl doesn't know how many camp meetings you've preached. Your boy doesn't care how many offices you hold. All he wants to know is my daddy there. I want my daddy to be there. This is what life is all about. This last picture. That's Grandparents Sunday in Raleigh a few weeks ago. And those that you see in that picture means more to me than anything in this world. When I got ill a while back, sick, the doctor asked me a few questions about my treatments and why was I doing some of the things he was asking me to do so sincerely and so conscientiously. I said, sir, you haven't seen my grandbabies. That picture will make you want to live. It will make you want to live. And brethren, it should make you want to be holy and pure and undefiled and faithful to your wife and faithful to your God and faithful to your church. Let's all stand. Brother Kenzie, I'd hate for there to ever be a day in my life because of my lack of commitment and spirituality and consecration that I would ever disqualify myself from this privilege. And when that little boy, could I have the picture one more time if it's not too much trouble? If that little boy that's sitting in my wife's lap, that's Kyson Judah. That's Kyson Judah. I'm holding Christian. He's the one who said while Brother Jones was preaching, "Mommy, I want to preach." If that little guy were to ever grow up, and somebody would say, "I wish you could have heard your granddaddy preach. You never did realize he was a preacher." I want to be there. Turn around to two or three preachers and say, "Be there." Do we have time to call them to the front? I have touched the sensitive emotional part of men. Because probably every one of us right now feel conviction. No matter how good you've done, you have felt like, "I could have done better. I could have been at that Bible quiz tournament. I could have been at that youth service when my boy was playing the guitar. I could have been at that graduation service. Maybe the reason I'm like I am is when I was born, my mother told me when I was an adult, my father never came to the hospital when I was born because he was intoxicated. That's why when my grandbabies were born, with permission of their parents, I am reminded from time to time that I am not their parent. I said, if it is all right with y'all." Every one of them, before they went home, they went to church, Brother Dean. We didn't dedicate on them, but I said, I want the first place they ever go to in their life to be church. And we would bring them in and say, "You need to get used to this place. This is what your life is going to be about. This is what your world is going to be about." We don't have a lot of time, but it may be that somebody here is feeling a convicting touch from God. I'd like for somebody to respond to this word today. Step to the front for just a moment and say, I'm gonna make a commitment today. My life is going to be different. I will be there.
This is Doug Joseph, pastor of Christian Apostolic Church and author of The Last Buy. It's my third novel. It's futuristic Christian fiction. I hope it's a blessing to you. The novel is available in paperback on Amazon.com, AuthorStock.com, or wherever great books are sold. Also available as a Kindle ebook. God bless you.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.